Chapter 13. The next morning, Leia wondered whether she'd had too much of the ale. But she hadn't. Her weariness and bad mood were the natural result of reliving memories so dark she rarely allowed herself to think of them, much less speak them aloud. "Think of your conversation with Castorfo as practice," she told herself. One day, she would have to reveal all this to her son. The truth of Vader's identity had shattered her. She could not imagine what it might mean to Ben. At least Luke could tell Ben the most important part, that Vader had in the end been redeemed. Anakin Skywalker had returned. The dark side had been defeated by the light. Leia knew this. She believed it. But she still did not understand it.
"You're unusually quiet this morning," said Tylin Gar, who walked with her across the grounds of the senatorial complex. "And not in high spirits, I think."
Grumpy. In a bad mood, that's all." She cast about for a plausible reason and found one in the early hour. What kind of sadist plans a meeting at breakfast? Tai Lin, ever patient, shook his head fondly.
"You've never been one to mind early hours. And you know how busy our schedules are."
"If the alternative is a breakfast meeting, I can find the time." Leia took a deep breath and tried to let it go. "Well, if I do wind up becoming First Senator, I know the first thing I'm going to outlaw." Chuckling, Tai Lin said,
"You'll change your tune when we sit down to eat and you get a little calf in you."
"Calf usually helps," she agreed. Tai Lin Gar had been inaugurated into the first Senate of the New Republic alongside Leia. He was one of only a handful who had served from then to now. Although he possessed the preternatural calm of most people from Gatalenta, in Tai Lin, that serenity was anchored even more deeply. In all these years, Leia wasn't certain she had ever heard him raise his voice, despite the ample reason centrist politicians had given him. He was an attractive man, only a year or two younger than herself, with only the temples of his black hair turning silver. In the distinctive scarlet robes of his planet, he cut a striking figure. A figure one could imagine in, say, a campaign hollow. "You know, there's still time for you to try for the nomination yourself," Leia ventured. "You'd make a better first senator than I ever would." He shook his head.
"Let's be realistic. You are the only populist candidate who could win, and if you lose, this entire experiment is doomed to disaster."
Leia paused, and he stopped alongside her. They stood in the middle of the complex square, amid an intricate pattern of tiles in blue and white, as if it were the board for a game of strategy. Doomed? Even with another populist as first senator? Tai Lin nodded, his expression grave.
"The centrists are forced to respect you because of your role in the war. Even then, they'll be intransigent. They'll fight every step you try to take. But at least we'll have some modicum of civility. You'll be able to push some things through. With anyone else in the position, we'll be even more deadlocked than we are now."
As little as Leia thought of the concept of a first senator, she couldn't believe she was the only one with any chance of making the role effective. Yes, the centrists could be difficult, but so could the populists, and the centrists would at least respect the idea of a hierarchy. "He's basically declaring that galactic-level politics can't work," she realized. Uneasiness stirred within her. If too many populist senators agree with him, it's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Tai Lin clasped his hands in front of him and stepped closer just as a few civilian vessels sliced through the sky above them, as if he wanted the silvery sound of their engines to conceal his words.
"Leia, you don't intend to drop out of the race. If you abandon the populist cause..."
"I'm not dropping out." Technically, she wasn't even officially in the race yet, but it made no difference. Leia thought again of her dreams of flying around the galaxy with Han. without responsibilities or cares, with all the time in the world. But before all this, I had been seriously considering retiring. I've wanted to spend more time with my family.
Of course. Tai Lin inclined his head. You would wish to join your brother and son, I imagine.
I miss them, yes. Still, I imagined living with my husband again. It's been a while since we were together more than half the year. Tai Lin hesitated before he came closer.
There's something I've been meaning to ask you for a long time. And finally, I feel I know you well enough to dare. If I overstep my bounds, please, tell me.
Uh-oh, Leia thought.
Was this some kind of romantic overture? Surely not. She seemed to have a case of paranoia this morning. But she understood why an outside observer might believe she was available, which was proof Han had definitely been gone too long. I'll tell you, Tai Lin. Go ahead and ask me.
Did you never consider following in your brother's path and becoming a Jedi?
Leia found herself caught short. Why do you ask?
They say on my world that the Force sometimes runs strong in certain families.
So much of the lore of the Jedi had been lost, but on Gatalenta the old religion had remained strong. History had become legend, but some of the legends were still told. Gatalenta had been one of Luke's first destinations when he began his research into the Jedi Knights of old. Tai Lin continued,
If that is true, then you might have the potential just like your brother.
And my son, she thought, but did not say.
If you have that ability, then I cannot imagine why you would not become a Jedi as well,
Tai Lin finished.
Surely I've known few people who would make a finer Jedi Knight than you.
Leia inclined her head in gratitude for the compliment, but she could not answer right away because she could not tell the full truth. The Force was too important a subject to be shared lightly, even with Tai Lin, her ally and friend. Her safe, sensible, and, as far as it went, honest reply? My duty has always been here, in the work of creating a new and better government. He sighed as if in regret.
You alone can determine your rightful destiny.
Could she? To Leia, it felt as if her destiny had been out of her hands for a long time. Together, they walked the rest of the way to the conference building in silence, broken only by the cries of migrating snowbirds overhead and the murmurs of the ever-increasing foot traffic around the Senate complex as staffers arrived for the day. Somewhere, probably not far away, Greer and Corey would be arriving. C-3PO was probably already in the office, happily sorting communiques. Bail Organa's statue sparkled translucent in the sunlight, watching over her. The pleasant weather and bright sky made Leia feel as if she might have enjoyed the morning, if it weren't for the breakfast meeting. And Tai Lin's probing questions about her past. And the memories stirred up by her conversation with Ransom the evening before. Maybe they were to blame for the increasing sense of dread welling inside her. I need calf, Leia thought. Everything else she would deal with later. The conference building of the New Republic Senatorial Complex contained multiple rooms appropriate for every kind of auxiliary function imaginable, from memorial concerts to award ceremonies. Leia and Tai Lin headed toward one of the smallest banquet rooms. The breakfast meeting had been organized by Varish Vickley, who couldn't imagine a bad time for a party. Varish came loping toward them now on all fours.
There you are. I was worried you'd be late.
We're still early, Leia protested, as both she and Tai Lin were wrapped in quick, long-limbed hugs.
Yes, but I worry. You know how they get.
They meant prominent representatives of both the far-left and far-right branches of the populist faction. The far-right branches wanted to dissolve the Senate so each world would again become a totally separate entity. The far-left hoped to open voting to the general populace so that instead of thousands of senators refusing to agree, they could have countless citizens refusing to agree. The only thing these senators had in common was, it seemed, a willingness to support Leia's candidacy for first senator.
Now come along and be introduced to everyone,
Varish insisted. Soon Leia found herself shaking hands and paws, murmuring greetings. Thanks to some review hollows Corey had prepared for her, she recognized each senator in attendance and could even ask a few pertinent questions about their families and worlds. In other words, Leia thought as she listened to someone cheerfully talk about his grandchildren, this is going wonderfully for everyone but me. Though not until now had she realized how much she dreaded her candidacy. Or maybe just discussing her candidacy. Whatever it was that made her so ill at ease. They entered the banquet hall together, the entire group walking two by two. Leia knew the seat at the far end of the table would be hers, guest of honor as counterpart to the host. So she walked the length of the room, attentive to the senator at her side, before glancing down at the arrangements. Sumptuous, even by Varish's standards, with a velvet runner stretching along the table and delicate paper streamers lying across the tables beneath elaborately folded napkins. Leia had to laugh. Honestly, Varish, for breakfast? This one good-natured chuckles from the room. Varish Vickley's lavish tastes were well known, a foible she herself joked about. Today, however, she shrugged.
I didn't request this. Maybe the serving staff heard my name and assumed that meant to go all out for glamour.
Varish smiled as she took her seat.
If that's my reputation, you know, I can live with it.
Leia settled into her chair, picked up her napkin, and stopped. Something was written on the paper streamer on her plate. Actual writing. Virtually nobody wrote any longer. It had been years since Leia had seen actual words handwritten in ink on anything but historical documents. But today, someone had left this message on her plate. Only one word long. Run. Leia shoved her chair back, instantly leaping to her feet. We have to get out of here, she said to the startled senators at the table. Now, go! But they didn't move, even as she dashed toward the door. Varish said,
Leia? What in the world?
Didn't you hear me? These fools who had never been in the war, who didn't know an urgent warning when they got one. Leia held up the paper so they could see it. Run! Everyone, get up and run! With that, she took off, running as fast as she could, finally hearing the others stir behind her. Maybe they thought the note was only a prank, but Leia knew better. The inchoate dread that had swirled inside her all morning had solidified. This was what her feelings had been warning her about. As they dashed through the hallways of the conference building, Leia glimpsed an alert panel and swerved sideways to hit it. A robotic voice said,
No detected hazards at this...
Override! Evacuation alert now! Leia resumed running just as the warning lights began to blink and the siren's wail sounded. Immediately, people began filing out of various other rooms, mostly grumbling, but at least moving toward the exits. And when they saw her, they too started to run. A sense of urgency built behind her like a wave cresting, preparing to crash. Leia's breath caught in her throat as she pushed herself harder, running full out toward the doors, so fast they almost didn't have time to open for her. In the square beyond, security droids had begun herding people away from the building, but too many continued to mill around, staring in consternation at the scene. The others evacuating flooded through the doors behind and around her, but once they were clear of the structure, half of them stopped, remaining stupidly within range. Within range of what? She still didn't know. But every instinct within her, the Force itself, screamed that disaster was near. Leia didn't stop. She kept running as hard as she could, never looking back until... Brilliant light! A roar so loud it resonated in her skull. And hot air and debris slamming into her, knocking her down, rolling her over, erasing the world. Greer knew only that in one moment, she was walking through the Senate grounds not far from the conference hall, Corey by her side, trying to come up with an excuse to cover her afternoon trip to the medbay, and in the next, she lay dazed amid smoldering debris, her thoughts fuzzy and her body aching. What the? She sat up, but too quickly, and her head whirled. Greer put one hand to her forehead, took a couple of deep breaths, and forced the collage of devastation around her to make sense. Half of the senatorial conference building had vanished, leaving rubble behind. The other half smoked ominously, stained black. All around her, people either lay on the ground or stumbled around, nursing injuries. Skin, scales, and fur were all marked with blood. The acrid smell in her nostrils testified to the explosives that had been used. Somebody bombed the Senate building, Greer thought. That first moment of concrete knowledge snapped her brain back into focus. Greer looked around, searching for a glimpse of the spring green robe Corey had been wearing. Corey? Can you hear me? Corey?
You're okay!
Greer turned to see Corey hurrying up to her, curly hair disheveled and gown torn, but otherwise all right.
I couldn't see you for a second. It was like the explosion stole all the light for a moment. The world went blank, and then it was turned upside down.
Corey's voice cracked in a sob. She was still only a girl. Greer took her hand, hoping to provide some comfort. But she saw then that she'd lost a fingernail, ripped out at the root, and the blood trickling onto Corey wasn't helping at all. A triage droid zipped through the air, dropping down to hover just beside Corey, extending a scanner bar. Blue rays swept over Greer's body.
Mild concussion without internal bleeding. Negative for broken bones. External injuries and pre-existing medical conditions only. Non-critical.
It scanned Corey next, finding nothing even worth reporting aloud. After that, it took off, searching for someone more badly hurt.
Help me up, Greer croaked.
Corey slid one of Greer's arms over her shoulder and got them both back on their feet. Now that Greer could see more of her surroundings, the full impact of the disaster hit her. Although security staff and med droids moved through the crowd with urgency and purpose, dozens, if not hundreds, of people had to be injured, and they lay amid an enormous scene of devastation.
The breakfast meeting!
Corey swallowed hard.
Princess Leia was in there when it blew!
Greer's whole body turned cold, save for the one finger hot with flowing blood.
We have to find her. Now! Go get someone to help us search. Joff Seastriker, maybe. The barracks would have been out of range.
Greer! Everyone's already looking!
Of course the troops would have been called in immediately. But she couldn't sit by and do nothing.
Not everyone is looking, because we're not looking. I don't care if we have to go through this brick by brick. We find Princess Leia.
Corey nodded. Having a concrete task to perform helped. Within another minute, Greer could stand on her own. Her dark blue tunic and skirt had been shredded by debris, rips and tears revealing the skin of her belly and thighs. Grayish-white dust coated her hair so thickly that every turn of her head shook forth a few more flakes. But she kept going, checking out each injured person, summoning med droids where needed, ignoring her own dizziness. She wouldn't stop until she found Princess Leia and made sure she was all right. Greer refused to consider any other possibility. As she went, she recognized other people she knew. Count Jagurner's chief of staff, blood staining her white blonde hair as Dr. Colonia helped her to stand. Andrithal Rob Vody of Terrace, leaning against an intact wall in a daze. Ransom Casterfo, helping a wounded Togruta woman toward the med center. Zigli Bruss of Candavant being lifted onto a stretcher. This was unquestionably the single biggest attack on the government since the final battles with the last surviving ships of the Empire more than 20 years before. It was Corey who finally called, "Over here!" Greer turned to see Princess Leia getting to her feet at the far edge of the square, one hand in Corey's, the other at her temple as though her head hurt badly. Greer limped to their side, only to have Princess Leia immediately embrace her. "Thank goodness," the princess said. She sounded as though she had been screaming or crying. Terror and the ash in the air were stealing all their voices. "I was so worried about you both. What happened?" Greer didn't expect Princess Leia to know, but her mind kept returning to the question, worrying it over and over, as if this time an answer would come. "Who would have wanted to destroy the building?" Princess Leia's gaze turned upward, toward the statue of Bail Organa. Despite the sunlight, it showed as gray due to the coating of soot and dust, and his outstretched hand had been broken off halfway to the elbow. Greer realized she could see the shattered fingers lying amid the rest of the debris. The princess said, "This bomb destroyed something far more important than a building. It may have destroyed the Senate itself." Who could have done this? Greer thought. Too many candidates sprang to mind. Organized crime, whether minions of Rinriven die, or a desperate attempt by the Hutts to reclaim their former power. Extreme populist factions angry that the Galactic Senate even existed. Centrist radicals attempting to create a climate of fear that would justify their grab at absolute authority. Some wild-eyed loner with a grievance no rational person could ever understand. She was sure of only one thing. As soon as the immediate shock had dissipated, accusations would fly in every direction. The Senate's torpor would inflame into turmoil, and the fate of the galaxy itself could follow.